Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 41, Krishna and Balaram enter Mathura, text number 17. Shri Bhagavanavacha, Yashe Bhavato Geham, Ahamadhyaya Samandita. Yadu chakra ruham hatva Vittarishe suhit priyam Shri Bhagavana bhaccha Yashe bhavato geham Aham maya samandita Yadu chakra ruham hatva Vittarishe suhit priyam Shayashe will come Bhavataha to your Geham house Aham I Arya from my older brother Balaram Samanvita the company, Yadu Chakra, of the circle of Yadus, Druham, the enemy, Kamsa, Hatpa, killing, Vitarishe, I will grant, Suhrit, to my well wishes, Priyam, satisfaction. The Supreme Lord said, I will come to your house with my older brother, but first I must satisfy my friends and well-wishers by killing the enemy of the Yadu clan. Purport, Akura glorified Krishna in text 16 as Yuruttama, the best of the Yadus. Sri Krishna here confirms this by saying, in effect, since I am the best of the Yadus, I must kill the enemy of the Yadus, Kamsa, and then I will come to your house. So today is a very auspicious day. It is the, another day in Krishna consciousness. There's also Ekadasi and the disappearance day of Sri Saranga. Narahari Sakara, the core. So, a very auspicious day. And hopefully, we'll try and comment on each of those points. So, here, just quickly summarizing the story so far. Here, Krishna is speaking to Arjuna. Akura has brought Krishna from Vrindavan, and they have arrived there. The other members, such as Nanda and various other family members of Krishna, arrived there a little earlier. They took a shortcut, and Akura had the faster chariot. And of course, because Akura took bath and was meditating upon the special vision he saw, therefore there was a little delay, so they arrived a little later. So upon arriving, Krishna got down from the chariot and, smiling, spoke to Akura that you take the chariot home now, and you know, you go and inform Kamsa that I'm here. And so of course Akura was a little disappointed. He actually was wanting Krishna to come to his home. You know, Krishna was holding Akura's hands. He was, you know, understanding. He was a very dear well-wisher of Krishna. And Krishna was smiling at Akura in order to encourage him to do as he was asking, although actually Krishna was feeling quite distressed at the fact of having to leave Vrindavan, but he was attempting a smile. And anyway, Akura, begged that Krishna would come to his home. He offered him so many different prayers and glorification. In the previous verse, he addressed him as Yadutama, the best of the Yadus. And here, Krishna says that first, I must satisfy my friends and well-wishers by killing the enemy of the Yadu clan. So in this way, Krishna is saying that you have rightly addressed me as the best of the Yadus, and now I shall fulfill that namesake. So the Yadus are very, very dear to Lord Krishna, and therefore Krishna wants to reciprocate with them. The Yadus, of course, stem, if we follow the family line down, we have Lord Vishnu, then Brahma, then Svayambhuva Manu, and then Kadama Muni, Devahuti, and then we have the one sage, beginning with the name A, and his wife Anasuya. What's that? I think it might be actually, yeah. And then coming down in the line, then we have Soma, the moon god, so Krishna appears in the moon dynasty. Buddha, not the Lord Buddha, the different Buddha. Coming down like that, we come down to Yayati, after many generations, and we come down to the Satvata, and the Brishnis and the Yadu, like this. So we come down to, so the many of Krishna's very, very dear associates from the spiritual world appeared within the Yadu dynasty, and also many great devotees who were being elevated to the position of being eligible to return back to the spiritual world, they had also appeared within the Yadu dynasty. So the Yadu dynasty actually included family members in Vrindavan. Krishna's well-wishers and friends, he considered his family, those in the family of Krishna, or all the residents of Vrindavan, one way or another, were considered to be the friends or within the family of Krishna. The cowherdsmen particularly were related to the Yadus. Within Vrindavan there were generally three types of three groupings of people. There were the cowherds people, there were the brahmanas, and there were the artists and what have you. And that they can be further subdivided into eight different categories. But many of the residents of Vrindavan were members of the Yadu dynasty, and also many people in Mathura were members of the Yadu dynasty. Akura was also coming down in the Yadu dynasty. Devaki, there were members, many family members in Hastinapur who were also, members of the Yadu dynasty, such as the Pandavas through Kunti. Pandu, the father, the husband of Kunti, he was actually coming in the Kuru dynasty, so he was related to the Kuru dynasty, but through Kunti they were actually related to the Yadava dynasty. The Kuru dynasty are also coming down in the same line. I think from Maharaj Yayati, there was half a dozen different brothers, of which one was Yadu and another one was Puru. So from the Yadus came down through one line, and from Puru came the Kuru dynasty, but there was a common link there between the Yadavas and the Kurus as well. So all these different personalities were very, very dear to Krishna. And in the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, many of those same personalities who were very, very dear to Krishna, they also appear in the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So there is a direct correlation between the Krishna's pastimes and the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So for instance, today, Narahari Sakura Thakur, now in Krishna's pastimes he was actually Madhumati Gopi. And Narahari Sakura Thakur, I think he was the youngest of three brothers. Their father was, I think, Narayan Das. And the eldest was Mukunda. And then there was Madhava and Narahari Sakura. So Mukunda, the eldest brother, he was actually an incarnation of Brindadevi. And then there was Madhava. Now Madhava had a son, his name was Raghunandana Thakur, who wrote some very famous prayers to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he was considered an incarnation of Pradyumna, and he had a disciple called Raya Sakara, who wrote Astakala Leela Padavali, the book you can get upstairs. So I get a commission. No. So you know, many of these personalities are very, very great personalities. Narahari Sakura Thakur, his disciple, his only disciple was Srila Lochan Das Thakur, who of course wrote Chaitanya Mangala. You know, they're very, 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 very dear associates to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, very, very dear associates to Lord Krishna. And just as, you know, with the Yadavas, they performed many different services in many different you know, moods, hence the different you know, various relationships you know, spread throughout Vrindavan, Mathura, eventually Dwarka, you know, Hastinapur, you know, in all sorts of different varieties of services, but Krishna was the center of the entire dynasty of, you know, all his friends, well-wishers and family members. And you know, so they all performed services, but although in that way it appeared that they were doing separate things, but because Krishna was the center, therefore in fact it was all unified like that. So they're all, you know, in this age of Kali it's very hard, you know, if we can get our families, you know, even a small unit to work together, you know, that is very difficult. Here you have this dynasty which spread for many generations, spread right throughout all, you know, the major parts of India and the world, and yet they're very unified because Krishna was the center. And the same here, you know, in our ISKCON centers, in our Krishna consciousness of society, we have a temple here, people do so many different services, and yet, although there's so much variety, so many differences, because we're all united around Krishna, then everything is harmonious. And then you have temples all over the world, all different countries, all different races of people, all devotees, doing all varieties of service, and yet there is a great, you know, unity amongst the devotees. So you can, you know, as a devotee, you can travel anywhere in the world, go to all the different temples, and you'll be very, very welcome because you're part of the family of Krishna like this. So as an example of that, actually, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he once said to Mukunda, Narahari Sakara and Raghunandana, he said to Mukunda, your service to me shall be to earn your livelihood honestly. And of course, Mukunda was a physician. You shall earn material and spiritual riches. That was his duty. And he said to Raghunandana that your duty, your service, will be to serve the deity of the Lord. And he said to Narahari Sakara at the core that your service will be to stay with the devotees and preach Krishna consciousness. Narahari was also very famous, of course, for fanning the Lord, especially in his early days during the, when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in Navadvip. Therefore, you see the picture here. Panchadatta, where is it? We don't have the picture of Panchadatta. Oh, we have to get one. So, we have Gaurna Thai there. So, Narahari, we sing that prayer in the evening. You know, Narahari. That's Narahari Sakara. He is banning the Lord with Chamara. And he was also Narahari and Mukunda and Raghunandana. When that they would go to Puri every year also with and meet up with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and they would dance very, very ecstatically in Kirtan. So, but you see these various different services. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave them each different services, and yet they were all united on the same platform. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu viewed each and every one of them equally, you know, according to their devotion. In other words, it's not that someone is doing one service. You know, someone is cleaning the courtyard and someone is cleaning the deity temple room, that we should consider that, such and such a devotee is obviously more dear to the Lord because they're in the deity room, the other ones, you know, out there in the courtyard sweeping there or cleaning the toilets or whatever like that. It has nothing to do with that. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is and Krishna, they reciprocate with all services equally, but according to the loving devotion that is being rendered. So you can, be just as dear to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by going out and, working in a job and, earning money, raising a family, giving, some of that to Krishna. Devotees, whether they perform the activities of Brahmas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas or Sudras, of course, are never Sudras. The devotees, they perform all sorts of different tasks, but they're always transcendental, they're always Vaishnavas. And because of their devotion to the Lord, they're always very, very dear to the Lord. It has nothing to do with the externals. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Krishna, you see here that Krishna wants to reciprocate with his devotees. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also, he used to love to glorify his devotees. They were very, very dear to him. It's described that when he was glorifying his devotees, it was like he had five heads. He was so enthusiastic. Speaking about, his devotees, you'd think he had five heads and five mouths. He just, there's so much glorification coming out so ecstatically. So, which is a very, very good example. This is, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showing us. Sometimes, some who, may have the accolade of being called a devotee, but cannot manage to glorify devotees even with one head. So, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he described that, because devotees are actually very, especially advanced devotees, they're not understood even by the greatest of scholars. You'll see that there are many people in this world who are, brilliance in some field of science, warfare, or economics, or politics, or something. very, very scholarly, very, very well read, and yet they have no access into understanding the position of a devotee. Even a great scholar cannot understand. Actually, unless Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or his representative, unless the Lord reveals to us, it is not possible to understand. But the Lord is always very eager, and therefore you see, as in the case of Srila Prabhupada, it's obviously very, very dear to the Lord, that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is very eager for his glories to be understood, and therefore he allows his devotees to do something very, very wonderful, you know, inconceivable, so that they, you know, obviously rise above the what common men can do. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was talking about Mukunda Das, how he was describing how, you know, externally he appears to be, you know, just an ordinary grihastha, you know, someone engaged in a profession. You know, you would think he was, you know, not someone very special, not particularly devoted. He's not always in a temple, he's not wearing sannyas cloth and what have you. And yet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that he's, you know, within his heart, you know, hidden from everyone is his very, very deep love, you know, for Krishna. And he described an incident where Mukunda Das, he was, because he was a fisherman, physician, once he was treating the Muslim king. And they were seated on a very high platform, and he was describing some medication. And a servant of the king began fanning the Lord with a peacock feather. And as soon as Mukunda saw the peacock feather, you know, fanning, it reminded him of Krishna, and he immediately, you know, just became absorbed in so much ecstatic love, just a slight remembrance, and his ecstatic love just exploded, and he just literally fell off that platform and onto the ground and just totally unconscious. And the king, you know, he personally got down, as usual they just left their attendants, but he personally got down and he said to Mukunda, you know, he revived him and said, oh, you know, where is the pain? Where is the hurting? And Mukunda's saying, oh no, there's no pain, it's okay. And he was asking, you know, what is the cause of your illness? What type of illness do you have? What you know, what happened? Why did you fall unconscious? And he was saying, oh, I think I have some form of epilepsy or something like this. But anyway, the king, he did not believe that, because he understood, you know, he could understand this. Mukunda was actually a very great Vaishnava, a very, very uncommon personality, very exalted personality. So, devotees are very, very uncommon personalities, but that is not understood. That is understood by other devotees who are properly situated, usually through the grace of the Lord and the Guru. Otherwise, sometimes through external appearances, one may just see a lot of fault in devotees. But one should be very, very careful of doing this, because the devotees are very, very dear to the Lord, very dear to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and very, very dear to Lord Sri Krishna. Very dangerous to, you know, become involved in criticizing devotees without, you know, looking very, very carefully and very deeply, with purified vision, at what their activities are. You know, if there's sometimes, if there is some, you know, there may be something that someone may want to consider, but the devotees have to be very, very cautious, because the devotees are very dear to the Lord. So, and the Lord is very dear to the devotees. So, here, of course, a devotee should be a devotee not just in name. That is another point. That is why, you know, Krishna is demonstrating here. He's saying, you know, so Krishna has been addressed as Yuruttama, or the best of the Yadus, So Krishna could just take that name, yes, I am the best of the Yadus, because I have just been born in the Yadu family and, you know, I'm very popular. But no, he is saying, no, so I have been given this, you know, glorification. So now, you know, it must be factual. It cannot be just some external glorification. You're calling me the best of the Yadus, then I shall destroy, you know, all the enemies of the Yadus. I shall not sit back thinking, I am the best of the Yadus. All the Yadus are having this massive, big difficulty through Kamsa and so many demons. I am the best of the Yadus, but I will sit back and let everyone, because I'm the best, everyone else can do, you know, like this. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is showing that if someone has some, you know, glorification, some accolade, then they should earn that. They should. So the same, for someone to be called a Vaishnava, which is, you know, a very most exalted transcendental personality, actually have to earn that title. You can't earn it just by, you know, throwing on a sari or a dhoti, you know, a little bit of tilak and walk around your hands in the bead bag. There has to be a little bit more than that. Actually, to be a Vaishnava, one has to, you know, become part of this family of Krishna. And, you know, as just the word used here is friends and well-wishers, suhrit. See, Kamsa was also within the family of Krishna, but he wasn't a well-wisher. See, he wasn't actually, in a material, external sense, Kamsa was also coming in the line of the Yadavas through Ugrasena. And so he was also a Yadava as well. So Krishna, you know, he wants to protect the Yadavas. He wants to protect his, you know, all his wonderful devotees who have taken birth in the Yadu family. He's not just protecting Yadus because they're his relatives. It's not just that. He's protecting the Yadavas because so many devotees from the spiritual world and, you know, coming up, you know, through this world have come to the perfectional stage of devotional service and taking birth in that family specifically. And therefore, he's protecting them because they're devotees. But Kamsa, he is also a Yad, in the Yadava family, Yadava dynasty. But he is very unfavorable, very unfriendly. So therefore, similarly, it is not just some, you know, external cladding or external symptoms by which one can, you know, claim to be a Vaishnava. One actually has to earn that right. Just like, you know, to be a Brahmana. You know, many devotees take Brahmana initiation. Brahmana initiation, of course, means that they have to understand Brahman. And they have to always be absorbed in Brahman. If someone's absorbed in the modes of, you know, passion and ignorance, then they can, you know, externally they may have the thread, which, you know, costs 2 paisa, but you know, they cannot really be called a Brahmana or Brahmani. And they're actually, unless they become situated in the mode of goodness, always very, very clean, always fixed in, you know, pure consciousness internally, externally, like this, Brahminical. Vaishnava also, one has to be very, very friendly to Krishna. And this Krishna consciousness movement, ISKCON, Srila Prabhupada said many times that this International Society of Krishna Consciousness is in fact non-different from Krishna. So this is an interesting point, because if one is not friendly to ISKCON, it's almost, it's, you know, how can one really say that one is friendly to Krishna? It's actually not possible. Either, sometimes people say, we follow the teachings of Srila Prabhupada, but we do not accept ISKCON. And yet the teachings of Srila Prabhupada is that this movement is non-different from Krishna. So you follow the teachings of Prabhupada, it means you accept that ISKCON is non-different from Krishna. And therefore have a friendly attitude to Krishna in his form as a deity, in his form as, you know, Krishna, in his form as, you know, the super soul in the heart, and in his form as ISKCON. Like that. Otherwise, you know, if that's, you know, otherwise it's an external claim to be Krishna's friend, Krishna's well-wisher, Krishna's, you know, Krishna won't recognize that, just external show. One has to look very, very deeply. Someone may claim, or, you know, that, someone said actually the other day to me, you know, that, it's quite humorous really, when I think of it, that when Prabhupada went back to the spiritual world, he took ISKCON with him. You hear this sort of anything. You know, I try to explain to the person that this is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. I asked him, so if this is, I said, it's not just Prabhupada's movement, it's Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement, it's Krishna's movement. So this is not Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. Can you tell me where it is? No, couldn't say. So anyway, Srila Prabhupada says, this, you know, International Society for Krishna Consciousness, ISKCON, is non-different from Krishna. And actually, if you look at, you know, the activities of this society, you will find that, you know, it is not just, you know, like a business, what do they call, where you expand your business and...
Franchise,
yeah, it's not like some franchise, you know, that the only thing that we are doing in all the ISKCON temples around the world is teaching people how to love God. How to love God, and people are learning how to love God through all the temples in the world. They're learning who is God, because you cannot love God if you don't know who He is. They're learning who is God, how to call the names of God, how to, you know, understand the names of God, how to meditate and hear about God. How can you meditate upon God if you have no idea what He looks like, what His forms are? How can you meditate on God if you have no idea what He does, if you don't know His activities? How can you serve the Lord, you know, without some, you know, deity representation of the Lord? You know, and there are so many wonderful prayers, of pure devotional service, so many different forms of teaching people how to serve Krishna in so many different ways, and therefore people are becoming, you know, Krishna conscious, God conscious, and becoming, you know, detached from the material world. So, you know, you can see the presence of Krishna within ISKCON. That it, you know, the presence of Krishna is that people are not just artificially, you know, accepting some title that we are a religious person. But the test is that they are striving very, very hard to actually leave behind materialism. They're not embracing materialism in the name of religiosity. They're trying very, very hard to leave behind materialism and embrace spirituality. So, you know, that is a very purifying effect of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So ISKCON is non-different from Krishna. As we see this morning, you know, if people come and take part in Krishna consciousness, singing, dancing, taking prasadam, associating with devotees, and you just do that every day, you go back to Godhead. Because if you keep doing that, you'll be too busy to commit simple activities. You'll be too ecstatic to think about your material happiness and mostly distress. You're just always, every day, dancing, serving, chanting in so many different ways, absorb ourselves in so many different ways. You do that every day, at the end of your life, you'll be absorbed in Krishna and you go back to Godhead. You'll have no attachments to this material world, you just go back to Godhead. So this is the International Society of Krishna Consciousness, non-different from Krishna. So if someone is friendly to Krishna, then they have to be friendly to ISKCON. Sometimes it is seen that in ISKCON, or even in the various acharyas, there are different movements that were operating at different times. And in fact, you'll never see the history where there was, even with great Vaishnavas, where there was not some apparent great danger to their movement, some threat, as when Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and Srila Baladeva Jibisan had to answer the challenge by the Ramanadis. You're not even a bona fide Sampradaya, you're not in the line of Madhvacharya, and you don't have a Vedanta commentary, you're not even supposed to be worshipping the deities. And they wanted to stop the devotees even then from worshipping the deities. So, there is no time, you'll see, they attacked Jiva Goswami, they attacked all, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, they attacked all, everybody. And they also attack ISKCON. But that does not mean, because there are these difficulties that crop up, that therefore it is a sign that the movement is faulty. The movement is non-different from Krishna. And just as Krishna places himself in the hands of his devotees, and he gives them the opportunity to advance to the more elevated platform, Sakyam Atmanivedanam. Generally, most devotees follow the first seven principles of devotional service, but to elevate yourself to the platform of Sakyam Atmanivedanam, Krishna sometimes gives us the opportunity to, he appears that he is having difficulty. What he is giving the devotees the opportunity that, you protect me. I am helpless. So, that is the mood in the spirit, in the spiritual world. Especially in the very, very higher elevated stages, the devotees actually have a mood that, Krishna is mine. He is my beloved. And they, just like when the cowherd boys go out to play with Krishna, some of the older ones, just slightly older, a week or two older, but they're very, very protective. When they go to play with Krishna, they're playing, but they're also looking out for any sign of danger. Because, they're not thinking he is God, they're thinking, he is our very, very dear friend, and we will not let anything happen to him. And sometimes Krishna actually, through ISKCON, gives us, a similar opportunity to look after Krishna in the same way, just the same way we look after the deities. The deities, appear to be unable to speak, unable to move, but they can. Those deities could get up and walk around and have ecstatic kirtan right before our eyes if they wanted to. In fact, sometimes, for different devotees they've done that. Sometimes in the past times of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the deities of Gaudiya have jumped off the altar, run around in the kirtan, dancing madly, ecstatically. So then you have two sets of Gaudiya, the deity set, running around dancing. That happened to Haridananda, the spiritual master of Shamananda Prabhu, and what's that? Hridaya Chaitanya. Yeah, they also call him Haridananda sometimes. Yeah, and so he picked up a stick, started chasing the deities around. You get back on the altar like this. So then the deities actually jumped within the heart of Hridayananda, Hridaya Chaitanya. The deities, and there are different pastimes where Shakshi Gopal, he moved, and Gopala Bhatta Goswami had the Shalagram, and he wished that he could have a deity also that had the because someone had donated all this beautiful cloth and jewelry, and he had the desire to decorate the deity like that, but he couldn't do it with the shalagram. When he woke up the next morning, one of his shalagrams had turned into this very beautiful deity, Radha Ramana, I think it is. So, in this way, Krishna actually gives us an opportunity. So Krishna is very protective of his devotees, and when a devotee becomes very affectionate, see, to render service to Krishna, dasyam, that is very, very wonderful. But sakyam, where one is, very friendly, in other words, it's one is because of the very affectionate relationship with Krishna, is a little bit more elevated platform. The devotee is just particularly, alert. They're not just doing their duty, but they're really looking out for Krishna because they love him. They're understanding he's our best friend. Even in a generic sort of sense of the word sakyam, that friendship, that we understand that Krishna is our best friend. Krishna states to us, he's very, very eager to get us back to Godhead. He appears in the form of the deity, in the form of ISKCON, in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam, and this is the super soul, the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, is very, very eager to get us back home. So he is our well-wishing friend. And when a devotee understands that and has a similar friendly attitude with Krishna, very affectionate, that is what is wanted. That's a little bit more elevated than just performing one's service. So Krishna is very, very protective of his devotees, so we have to be very careful not to criticize devotees, not to criticize ISKCON. And the devotees are very protective of Krishna, which is illustrated with, interesting enough, the pastime of a codicil today, Utpana Codicil, that story? Utpana Codicil. This is actually the first codicil in the series of codicils. When we finish Chaturmasya, of course, we finish the last codicil in the cycle, the Uttana, but this is the Utpana, and which appears in the dark moon of this month. And it was the very first codicil out of all the codicils ever to appear. Lord Krishna actually told this story to Arjuna, which is related in one of the Puranas and then spoken by Sudha Goswami in that Purana. And it's described there that one time Lord Indra, he approached Lord Vishnu. Lord Indra and all the demigods, they approached Lord Vishnu because they had been driven out of the heavenly planets by demons. And so they approached Lord Vishnu, and Lord Vishnu, when he heard that, he became very, very angry. And he wanted to, chastise those demons and drive them back out of the heavenly planets. So he said, "We will go to the heavenly planets, Chandravati, your capital, and we will drive those demons out." So Lord Indra, he explained that, there was one very powerful demon who was the son of a brahmana, became a demon, and then his son, Mura, was an equally powerful demon, and that Mura demon, single-handedly, by himself, although he has a great army, but he was able to defeat all the demigods put together. He was so powerful that all the demigods put together could not defeat this one demon. He was very, very powerful. So anyway, Lord Vishnu went there, and there was this great battle, and they fought with weapons for a long, long time, and then after exhausting all the weapons, then he wrestled with this demon for 10,000 celestial years. Finally the demon gave up, and when he gave up, then Lord Vishnu he went to Bhadarika's realm and went into a cave there, and he took rest. But actually the Mura demon, who wasn't killed, he followed him there to that cave, and while he was sleeping, he attacked him. He wanted to kill Vishnu while he was sleeping. So while he was doing that, this beautiful divine personality, she appeared from the body of Lord Vishnu with all these divine weapons, and she attacked this Mura demon and she killed him. And then when Lord Vishnu woke up, he saw here is this beautiful divine personality and here is this dead demon. He asked, you know, who are you? And she said, I have, you know, I came from your very body. And he said, you are my divine energy. And because you have appeared on this Ekadasi day, the 11th day of the moon, the waning moon in that sense, then we will call you Sri Ekadasi. So therefore she took the name as a presiding deity. And therefore she has been worshipped ever since then on that particular day. And it's described that if one follows, Lord Krishna then said to Arjuna that if someone follows Ekadasi, they're certain to go back to my eternal abode. So of course on Ekadasi we don't eat grains and we try and reduce our eating and sleeping. And he said that if someone hears this story on Ekadasi, then the result is so much more, you know, amplified. So, but in this way you can see that the devotees, they're also very protective of the Lord. Now, of course Lord Vishnu could defeat the Mura demon. It's not possible that Lord Vishnu could not be not defeat this demon, but he allows his devotees who appeared in this circumstance in the form of Ekadasi to actually set that example of protecting the Lord when he appears to be sleeping, not looking, not alert. So in the same way, sometimes ISKCON faces different threats and what have you, and if we want to be a devotee of Krishna, then we have to have a very friendly attitude towards Krishna, Krishna's society, the Sankirtan movement, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan movement. And we should also, we have to be very, very protective of Krishna's devotees. We have to, look after each other very nicely. It's very, very serious to, we cannot call ourselves a devotee and at the same time to not have a friendly attitude to Krishna's devotees. It is even it causes Krishna more grief that his devotees are put into distress than if someone personally, attacks him. Or, you're impersonal, you don't exist, God is dead, whatever. That certainly hurts the Lord. But when someone, puts his devotees into distress, that is particularly distressing to the Lord. So we should be very, very careful. So, therefore, Akura, I'll just read the next verse just to sum up. Sri Sukru Vacha Ivam Ukto Bhagavata Sokruro Vimana Iva Purim Bravishtaha Kamsaya Kamavidya Griham Yayo. Sukadeva Goswami said, thus addressed by the Lord, Akura entered the city with a heavy heart. He informed King Kamsa of the success of his mission and then went home. So of course Akura, he really wanted Krishna to come to his home, but Krishna had, Krishna ordered him to perform a particular service at that particular time, and Akura, setting the example of a perfect devotee, did not neglect the order or the mood of Krishna. And in order to be, called a devotee, we should have that same mood as Akura, that we should not neglect the mood of the Lord, what causes him happiness, what causes him, apparent distress, and we should not neglect the order of the Lord. And then we will actually be, qualified to be called devotees of the Lord. There was one disciple, Prabhupada, who wrote a song, and in this song he was, praying. It was a very nice prayer, and he was praying, you know, as your devotee I pray this, and as your devotee I pray this, and as your devotee I pray that. And Srila Prabhupada said, we should be very careful, you know, not to call ourselves devotees. Devotees are very exalted. Call yourself a servant. Replace the word devotee in all those lines with servant. As your servant, as your servant, as your servant. You know, so to call ourselves a devotee, we cannot just, it's not just anyone can say I'm a devotee, you know. We can call ourselves, you know, a servant, we're trying to serve the Lord. Devotees of the Lord are very, very rare. They're very exalted personalities. And if we're going to give ourselves that title, then we have to earn it by actually, you know, doing what devotees do. So I'll just leave it there if anyone has any questions or comments about that.
Yep. You mentioned about how
Well, it's because they're focused on money that they're disturbed. You know, we're not focused on money and therefore we live very simply. You know, the money is not for us, it's for Krishna. We're focused on Krishna, serving Krishna. We're not focused on money because we live very simply, you know, as devotees. They're disturbed because they actually are focused on money. And they, you know, they want lots of money to live a very, you know, extravagant life. But, you know, we can't tell them that. Generally, if people are, you know, a little aggressive or a little critical, then, you know, we try not to... It's very difficult to explain some of the aspects of the philosophy to people, you know, you just have that critical sort of skeptical mentality. And sometimes it's better just to, you know, give them the opportunity for a little purification to, if they can do some chanting or, you know, look at the books and read some of the philosophy or take a little bit of prasadam. If you can become just, you know, very friendly with that person. Generally, you know, someone's a little inimical and you just, you know, just befriend them, and if they just like you, then they're performing devotional service. Actually, Lord Chaitanya is so merciful that if someone just appreciates what a Sankirtan devotee is doing, thinks favourably of them, Lord Chaitanya awards them the same result as that Sankirtan devotee. So if you can just get someone to like you, you know, you don't have to, we don't have to philosophically defeat them on all these points, because without purification they won't be able to understand, generally. If we can just, you know, be very friendly you know, attract them with, you know, just friendliness and kindness, you know, that they will then appreciate, oh, I like that person, you know. And by that, just that favourable attitude, Lord Chaitanya will act within their heart and give them some purification, and gradually they'll understand. You know, when you like someone, you try to understand what they're doing, don't you, you know. If you take a dislike to someone, you sort of just cut off, you know, you're quite happy to find faults if you don't like someone. When you actually take a bit of a shine to someone, you're more inclined to sort of, okay, maybe there's some fault, but, you know, gee, they're a really nice person. You know, you tend to overlook. So we don't have to philosophically defeat people straight away. If we can just make them, you know, a nice friendly relationship with them, and therefore give them the opportunity to do some service, a little prasad, a little chanting, buy a book, or you know, and they might give their money anyway. But you know, if someone after a little purification, and then you have the opportunity to speak to them, then you know you can just explain to them. And of course, we are, you know, utilizing so much money to open temples, distribute prasadam, print books, you know, and so many different things like that.
Within ISKCON.
Oh. Well, it depends what instruction you've been given. As Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, he said to Mukunda Das, you know, your job is to make money. So if the Lord gives you that engagement, you should focus on it. If the Lord gives, you know, whatever the Lord asks us to do, the Lord asks Arjuna to fight. You know, someone may say, oh, I'm making money, you know. Imagine the Lord asks you to fight. You know, the Lord asked Arjuna to fight. If the Lord asks someone to make money, then you know you should focus fully on that service. If the Lord asks you to fight, then you know focus on that. If He asks you to preach, if He asks you to worship the deities, then you should focus on that. We shouldn't distinguish as one being you know better or worse than another. You know, the Satsvarup Goswami Maharaj, when he was very young, in the very, very early days, of course, he was working as in a social welfare office or something like that, and he was writing, you know, I think he was doing some office work. Anyway, his entire pay was paying for the storefront, pretty much. So, you know, all these devotees, there wasn't a lot, but they all had this constant daily association with Srila Prabhupada. They're all going out in kirtan, they're all able to wear, you know, the devotional clothes, they went to all these classes, and, you know, and they were eating with Prabhupada, and, you know, it was just... So one day he quit his job and he came into Srila Prabhupada, I've quit my job and now I can, you know, do what you and all the other devotees in Prabhupada... Oh, you know, do you not understand? Is your income... You know, what you're doing is very, very important to me. You know, your income is maintaining this entire, everything we are doing here. So he actually went back and got his job back. So, you know, and he focused on that. So, you know, whatever the order of the guru is, then we should focus on that, whatever it may be. Whether it be fighting, making money, making garlands, worshipping the deities, preaching Krishna consciousness, reading books, you know, whatever, sweeping the floor, we should focus on that.
It's a comment that we should understand that because the preaching, it doesn't mean you have to be directly talking about Krishna to an outsider. The preaching can be, like you said, that is the preaching, is the same if it isn't. Someone scrubbing the wall, someone painting, fixing a crack in the wall, or something.
Yeah.
Part of the preaching of Lord Chaitanya Sankirtana.
Yeah, people. You know, generally, if someone sees a devotee, they're usually impressed by whatever they're doing. If they're cleaning the toilets, you know, cleaning anything, cooking, generally they're quite impressed because devotees, you know, as some of the few people these days that put their heart and soul into something without working for some reward. You know, generally, if you look at all the activities the devotees are doing, you know, they're just right into it, you know, with love and devotion, and you just don't find that these days. You know, these days, you know, everything you buy is just a little short of what you need. You know, they give you just enough, but it's not quite enough. You know, you buy a shirt and you can't tuck it in anymore. You're not supposed to tuck them in. But, you know, it's like everything is just, they give you just enough, but not quite enough. You know, just enough to make it look good. The whole world's like that. You know, if you go to a mechanic, if you electricians, plumbers, anyone, they do just enough to get the pay, and once they're gone, oh, they didn't do this, they didn't do this, you know, and they leave. Apart from devotees, no one has that love and devotion for what they're doing, so whatever they're doing is preaching, you know, and some, like Jayananda Prabhu, of course, you know, people would see him, he was a temple president, and he was also working on this Ratha Yatra cart, this sort of Prabhupada, and most people, their first sight of Jayananda Prabhu was they would be walking past the temple and they would see this man outside cleaning up all the rubbish. And they would see him, you know, who is this ecstatic, blissful person? You know, he was so blissful, he was so ecstatic. They just couldn't, you know, and they would think, boy, you know, if that's the garbage, I can't wait to see the others. Like this. It's preaching, it gives a very, very favourable impression of Krishna consciousness. So, it's a good point. Everything the devotees are doing, actually Prabhupada, on that point, he gives the example that in India, when they put the railway through, they used to have this saying in order to keep everyone motivated. There was some saying like, you know, keep the wheels moving. Right? So it was not as if everyone was driving the train, but everyone had that, you know, you're laying the tracks, you're digging the trenches, you're doing whatever you got to do. Like everyone's doing something, you know, to get the train running, up and running. But it's like only the driver's driving, but without everyone's got that same motto: keep the wheels moving, keep the wheels moving. So they're all keeping that train moving. So ISKCON is like that, you know. We have many supporting services, and all those supporting services are non-different from preaching. Shravana and Kirtan, there are 9 different processes, and they're all absolute. Srila Prabhupada says that actually if you perform one of them, in essence, because they're absolute, you automatically, you know, perform the others. Of course, some of the others are performed, you know, to a slight degree and perhaps performed fully in more mature stages of devotional service, like Atmanivedanam and Sakyam and what have you. But generally, some traces are there. Just like, you know, I'm speaking. Prabhupada actually said this. He said, I'm speaking and you're hearing, but factually I'm also hearing myself as well. So, like this. So they're absolute. There's no difference. And you can take any one of those. You can take any Shravanam, Kirtanam, you know, Vishnu, Smaranam, Paranam, Sevanam. You can take any one of those and achieve perfection and go back to Godhead. The only point to consider there is because we're in the age of Kali, that the chanting of the holy name has to accompany all the processes, particularly hearing and chanting are the pillars of all those services in particular. And if we perform services without the hearing and chanting, the other services will not actually flourish, not in Kali Yuga. Perhaps in previous Yugas you could just do Padasevanam, but in Kali Yuga everything must be accompanied by strong hearing and chanting. And then you can concentrate on any one of them.
Is it the activity or the mood that we're doing the activity?
It's the mood. Yeah, it's the devotion.
So it doesn't matter whether we're like in the sankhana, books or cooking or playing and stuff.
Yeah.
Or the mood.
It's our very friendly, loving, affectionate attitude to Krishna's devotees in particular, and then Krishna will recognize that the activities are.
Well, if I'm looking for mentality and sincerity, yeah, you know, these two words. So
sincerity and
mentality.
Mentality, yes. Prabhupada would also be serious and sincere.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jai, all glory to Prabhupada. Yeah.
Yeah.